Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're going to start a study on the Paul's epistles to the Thessalonians, and we're going to look at chapter 1 today. It will probably be a four-part study. I've been studying that, and this was it is considered probably Paul's first letters to Christians that he was the main author of the New Testament, and this is considered his first of his letters to Christians. And if you would turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to kind of give an overview of it, and then we will end up just reading it. When we're done. Thessalonica, the city that the Christians lived in, that he was writing to, was located on what was known as the Great Northern Highway. We think of a highway, we think of I-15, and which is, well, I start to say relatively easy to travel, but depending on what time of day and so forth. But it was considered a highway for back then. Much of it was paved, believe it or not. But it connected what we generally call the East and the West. And it connected Europe, what we would think of, with the Middle East. And it was a very strategic location, both militarily and commercially. Because of the location, it was a city that would be fought over many times. There were numerous battles there. It was a commercially important city, and it was a very big center of idol worship, as many of the cities were back at that time, Ephesus and Corinth and so forth. In fact, these are some ruins of some of the shrines and altars to some of the gods that they worshipped. It is up in this area right here. It's just a few miles from Philippi and in the northern area of Greece called Macedonia. And Paul established a congregation in this city on his second missionary journey. And the occasion of this letter was he was wanting to touch base with them, check up on them. It is talked about here in Acts, the 17th chapter. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures." Find it interesting that it was Paul's custom. It was his habit. It was his lifestyle to go in and preach about Jesus. But verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." I appreciate Colin's comments earlier during the Lord's Supper about that the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, is about Jesus. It's either pointing that Jesus, the Savior, is coming, the Son of God. It's prophesied about, and then he's here, and then after his ministry and after he ascended back into heaven, the story of the rest of the Bible is Jesus was here, and Jesus was the Son of God. And this is the basic message that Paul preached to everybody, that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. It goes on to say, and some of them were persuaded And a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. We see this result throughout the New Testament, that Paul's message is going to have an impact on people. People that weren't Jews. It's going to have a huge impact. We talked in Bible class today, finishing up the way. And that's what the Christians were being called at this time, the way. And men and women were joining Paul and Silas. Goes on to say, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These men have turned the world upside down, have come here too." That's what Christianity was doing. It was turning the world upside down. We think of Christianity today as worldwide, and it is. But at one time, it started when Jesus ascended back into heaven. He left it in the hands of 12 men. And you look at how it has spread. And by this time, just a couple of decades later, that's how they were referring to it here in Thessalonica. That those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Paul spent a relatively short time in Thessalonica, but it was very productive. It created a congregation of faithful Christians, and he would send Timothy back to check on this young group that literally has come out of the world. Some of them being Jews, some of them being what we call Greeks, the Gentiles, and he wanted to check on them because they had been born in this city. The congregation had been born in this city of idol worship. Some of the people, and we're going to get into this later in the study, within the next couple of weeks, some of the people that had been, to show you the persecution that was going on, some of them have died. Some of them had been killed. And the Christians there in Thessalonica were concerned when Jesus comes back. What about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? Will they enjoy the benefits of the resurrection? What if they come back and we're not, you know, the people that are not alive? Paul is going to address that issue, a teaching lesson in his letters. Paul wrote them a letter of encouragement and further teaching, and he will send it with his trusted Timothy, his beloved Timothy. One of the people from Thessalonica was a man named Aristarchus, and he was from Thessalonica and would join Paul as a missionary, as an assistant, and I can only imagine the benefit that this man would have had in his time serving Paul. Seeing Paul in many circumstances, like the apostles got to see Jesus. You know, could you imagine being a Timothy or a Silas or Silvanus or an Aristarchus? In Acts 27... Aristarchus is described as a missionary and a companion of Paul. This is a man from Thessalonica, a man who would have been brought to Christianity probably because of Paul. He had been seized in the riot of Ephesus in Acts 19. Paul refers to him as a fellow prisoner in Colossians. And he's called a fellow prisoner and laborer in Philemon. This is a man that has lived on throughout history, and his efforts. We don't have a lot of information about Aristarchus, but he was one of the fellow Christians from Thessalonica. He served Paul. He aided in the spreading of the gospel. Just a simple man like us. And his efforts and the effects of his efforts were felt. In the first verse, it's Paul's greeting. And he sends greetings from him and Timothy and Silvanus. And he sends to this group of people, he sends grace and peace from God and Jesus. We mentioned last week from the book of Philippians about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. All understanding. Paul is sending grace and the peace of God to these people, wanting them to have that which he had. And hopefully, through his earlier teaching and through this letter of encouragement, they can get that. That's what he was wanting for them. In verses 2 through 10, the rest of the chapter, it is a number of different verses talking about their growth and their great example as Christians. This was a relatively young congregation, but yet they had grown tremendously in strength. Have no idea of the numbers. And I like to think of this group here. We have no idea of the numbers of the church in Thessalonica, but they were strong. They were faithful. They were sound. What more could a group of God's people want? If and I've said this numerous times, if we wanted numbers, we could pass out $100 bills at the door. Advertise it. They would be lined up around the block if that's what we were interested in. But Paul is praising them for their growth and their example to others. One of the things he praises them for is their work of faith. I never see people will argue it's one or the other, but I never see a separation of work and faith in the New Testament. Obedience. Faith is more than just that mental acknowledgement of God, the mental acceptance of Jesus. All you got to do is believe. Well, throughout the whole New Testament, here Paul's talking about their work of faith, their labor of love. You don't just tell somebody you love them, you show them. Just like you show obedience and love of God through your obedience and your efforts. Their patience of hope. That goes hand in hand. You've got to have patience. Some of the people had died from the time that they had become Christians till now. Some had died, either of natural causes and or from the persecution that they were enduring. And they were concerned, will I miss out on my hope of a resurrection? And Paul's going to address that. He addresses them as followers of the Lord. Is there much more than you would want on a tombstone that you were a follower of the Lord? You followed. Not just in mind. You followed the Lord. He talked and told them about the afflictions that they endured. He acknowledged it. Do you think anybody of the New Testament could understand what they were going through better than Paul? The man had been beaten, sent to prison, shipwrecked, hungry, all for the sake of following Christ. He acknowledged what they were going through and was encouraging them to hang in there. You think you're at the end of the rope, tie a knot. Loop yourself around it. Hold on tight. And that they were good examples. This was a young group. Usually they are looking to those that had taught them as the example, which they were. But Paul is telling them, you are a good example. You're letting your light shine to others. They had preached the word in the area that they lived, Macedonia and Achaia. They were preaching to others. They were taking what has been taught to them. And it wasn't just the end result. They were then going and teaching others. They were sharing the gospel to other people like it had been shared to them. And that is important. It just didn't stop with them. They got it. You share it. You can never run out of it. That's the great thing about the gospel. The more you give it away, the more it, the more it produces. Karen was talking to me this morning about we had a number of Spanish speaking people that attended here very regularly, very faithfully, but they had trouble understanding. And they went over to Oki Boulevard, where there's a Hispanic ministry. And I think Karen said that there's up to 19 of them now. Amen. That many of their family members, that they had been baptized here, but many of their family members, they have taught them. And have, and I think, up to 19 of them. And, we praise God for that. Amen. But they were preaching to others. And very importantly, he ends up in chapter 1, they repented from their old life. They were born in a hotbed of idol worship. They were smack dab in the middle of the world. And they've repented. They changed. They came out of that and turned to God from idols. I would like for you, if I'm assuming most of you have your Bibles turned to the book of 1 Thessalonians, I would like for us to turn there, and I'd like to just read it now. Now that we've covered the main points of chapter 1, I'd like to read it and think of some of these emphasizing points here. I gotta take my glasses off. Nothing wrong with my eyes. My arms are too short. Gotta take my glasses off to read anymore. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. What a tremendous beginning to a wonderful letter that Paul has written them. He's setting the stage for some doctrinal teaching, some encouragement, some correction, as we will look at in the next few weeks. The lesson is yours. I see so many connections to this book of 1 Thessalonians to us today. That we, like them, are letting their light shine. That it just didn't stop with us. Somebody has taught us the Word of God, and we are sharing it with others. I hope you have a list. Like Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, as Paul said, we mention you in our prayers daily. We never cease to remember you in our prayers. I hope you have people that you are praying for daily. I know that there are some of you that literally go to God on behalf of each other on a regular basis. I know that many of you, and I appreciate it, pray for me. I greatly appreciate it. But just like Paul encouraging them, we encourage others. Hopefully. And we pray for each other. We are accountable to each other. And that's what Paul is saying. They're accountable to God. They're accountable to him and each other. And he's proud of them. We will continue on next week with chapter 2. I would encourage you to read, study chapter 2. Be a little prepared for some of the things we will dive into. If you need to respond to the invitation today through baptism, repentance, prayers, whatever your need, if you would like to identify with us here at South Valley and work and worship with us, we would welcome you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while we stand and sing the invitation.